This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
A lot of pressure. You got to rise above it. Mm-hmm. You got to harness in the good energy, block out the bad. Harness energy, block bad. Uh-huh. Feel the flow, happy. Feel it. It's circular. It's like a carousel. Oh, my brain has got me under pressure. It's got me under
pressure. All right, welcome back in. It's time for the whole show pressure cooker. No action tonight, Tanner. No local action, I should say. So nobody's, like, directly in the pressure cooker today, but we do, like, an overall, because we're almost to the playoffs now.
Yeah.
With the Avs and the Nuggets. The Rockies, they're starting to get some attention now. What do you do? I think they are. They're getting attention.
No.
They're getting some attention.
By us.
Well, that's attention.
That is. That is. I thought Mike has to go first. We'll steal his thunder.
Well, he doesn't go before me.
Okay. Oh,
sorry. Y'all steal my thunder.
Fine. Go first.
I'm putting the Rockies in the pressure cooker.
Why?
Look, they won their first series. You guys have momentum. Local people might start be believing in you. Keep the belief going. Keep the pitching going. Start doing better hitting. Come on, guys.
Come on, guys.
Allow these two hairy monsters to start shaving.
Yeah.
It's not that.
It's not bad yet.
It's not bad yet.
It's not bad. This is normal still.
Yes.
We're still in normal mode.
Normal territory.
No.
Yes.
No, this is usually, I let mine go for a little bit.
This is about the time. Like, it's about a week at a time for me.
Really?
I'm like, yeah.
That's a week?
The stubble starts to get me a little bit. You couldn't play first base, but you could have done the job that Bud Black did. I'm pretty sure that's what he told him. Come on, boys. Keep up the pitching.
I like what Warren Schaefer's doing, man. I like what he's doing. He's weird.
I know, and they're getting weird. It's working. It worked, it's like, I guess, for one series.
Like, aren't they one of the only teams to not have pitchers for their first, how many games have they played now? Six?
Six.
Not have a pitcher go beyond five innings?
It's weird.
It's awesome. It's
working.
It's really strange, though.
My question is, though, like, that's because I'm trying to self-scout our rocks. What happens when the book gets out on Antonio Sensatella?
Yeah.
Because he's been vitally important, going two or three innings.
Yeah.
He's got good stuff, but what happens when he comes back down to earth?
That in-between guy is pretty important.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we'll see how that one progresses. But that's a good pressure cooker. I disagree with Tanner a little bit. I do think they're getting, based on the state here, and just going through different media outlets, there was a lot of talk positively about the Rockies yesterday.
It's home opener, too, though, and they're all trying to get their press tickets still. And they're like, oh, wait, we're nice about the Rockies. I don't know.
I think they got to deliver now. You can't lose, like, the next 10 in a row.
Yeah, please don't. Please don't.
All right, who's in your pressure cooker?
I got a combo here, kind of. So, may I put two?
Yes, you may.
First, I put Jared Bednar in the pressure cooker.
Oh, yeah.
Because last night showed us in that loss, 8-6 loss.
So many goals.
To Vancouver, who the starting goalie should be in the playoffs, and he has to go with Scott Wedgwood.
Yep.
Mackenzie Blackwood has been good at points throughout the course of the year, but Scott Wedgwood right now is the better goalie. And now, it's my favorite thing. It's my favorite thing of all time when hockey people are like, well, the defense wasn't any good in front of him. Yeah, sometimes that's going to happen. That's why you need the guy to make the big move. Mackenzie Blackwood looked like garbage last night against the worst team in the league. He was having a hard time getting crease to crease in net. He couldn't get over in time to stop those pucks. He was bad, you know, in the game-winning goal, because let's not forget the Avs came back and tied that puppy up 6-6. The shot that went in on Wedgwood when they finally pulled Mackenzie Blackwood. The shot that went in got blocked by Parker Kelly in front, and it hit. He tried to block the shot, and it hit the bottom of his skate, redirected it up, Wedgwood had his glove there to make the save, and that redirection from the block shot goes in the back of the net. And Wedgie's talking to Kelly, and Kelly's like, that's my bad. And he's like, dude, you were trying to block a shot. Don't ever apologize for doing that. Obviously, Wedgwood should be the starter. And
Wedgwood's is like his numbers. He's one of the best goalies in the league.
Yeah, and yeah.
So why is it that Bednar, you're talking about getting weird, I mean, you got a dual goalie set up here. I mean, I see why they did that years ago.
Yeah.
But it's odd that they're doing it now.
It's kind of the starting quarterback. You don't want to mess with the psyche of the starting quarterback by putting in the backup. And Scott Wedgwood, remember, he got to start the year because Blackwood was out with an injury, and he needs to be the starter going in there. And sure, I mean, if he gets shell-shocked in the playoffs, make that move, because Mackenzie Blackwood is a good goalie, but I think it's between the head right now with Mackenzie Blackwood, and obviously missing the best defenseman in the league is going to hurt your defense, and the Avs didn't have Cale Makar last night. And there was a little bit of lack of interest by the Colorado Avalanche last night. It was not good. And Bednar said that in the postgame, too. He said, if that's as much interest as we're going to have, it's going to be a short playoff run.
Yeah. Well, what's the severity of Cale Makar? Is there any real do they consider shutting him down for the rest of the season?
They could. I think if this gets tight, if they lose Saturday against Dallas and that race for the one spot in the Central gets tight, they'll bring him back for the last couple. But my guess is once they clinch, like if they can clinch without him, then they won't bring him back for, until the playoffs, maybe one game just to knock some of that rust off. But Marty Natchez got banged up last night, and what an acquisition he has been. We were all a little hesitant after the Mikko Rantanen trade. That was an incredible trade by the Avalanche. So, I think you're at the point now, Nate Dogg got his 50th goal last night. Wow. Only second Colorado Avalanche player to ever do that alongside Joe Sakic, to have multiple 50-goal seasons. So you've accomplished just about everything. Lock up the number one seed in the Central and the Western Division, and then call it good, and let's get ready for the playoffs.
All right, who else is in the pressure cooker?
Well, those two. Wedgwood.
Okay, Wedgwood.
Wedgwood, if he gets to start the playoffs, and Bednar.
Three. Okay.
And Bednar, if he doesn't start Wedgwood in the playoffs.
My pressure cooker is going to be Joker, because I'm going out on, and I'm not saying he's going to win the MVP, but he damn sure needs to keep putting up nice numbers. Last night was, I'm still getting stuff.
Yeah. Like I said, I agreed with the majority of your posts. It was a little over the top.
It was a little over the top, but isn't that what it's about? I mean, I think Wimby's sensational. Wimby's going to win multiple MVPs.
Yeah.
No question. If not this year, it'll start next year. If you just look at the stats,
numbers don't lie.
The numbers tell you that Joker's the better player. We're just looking at stats.
Yeah, what's that saying? Facts don't care about your feelings?
No,
and that's where we're at.
And now I'm getting accused of being a box score watcher. If the best player in the league is averaging 12 points per game, he's not the best player in the league.
And I'm going to throw this out there, too. In some sports, I don't think just looking at the box score tells you the whole full story. I really don't. I think in the NBA, it tells you a pretty good story, because the plus-minus, I think it's one of my favorite stats of, hey, did the team perform better while you were on the court, or did it perform worse? And his is always a plus out there, no matter how many turnovers he has in those games. It's crazy. And like I said, I think the biggest compliment Nikola Jokic is getting right now is that, oh, that's Nikola Jokic doing Nikola Jokic things. That's a compliment.
Well,
he's not doing Jordan things. He's not doing LeBron things.
You know,
he's doing Nikola Jokic.
The hardest part for him to win an MVP now is he's going against himself. And the argument always is, well, you got to do something better than when you won it the previous years. He is doing something.
This is the best year statistically.
I mean, the average of the triple-double, but also to lead the league in assists and rebounds.
Yeah.
He's never done that before. Nobody's ever done that before.
These voters, just like this shiny new toy. I can't believe, anytime that I agree slightly with Nick Wright, I get terrified. And he came out and he's like, Wimby wasn't even the conversation until he came out and said, I should be that. And he goes, yeah. And then he goes for 40. And all these writers, all these voters are like, oh, see, he's doing all these other things and goes for 40. And he was arguing for Luka. And he's like, meanwhile, Luka's been averaging 40 over the last 2 weeks. And you're like, oh, he doesn't do everything else. It's like, you got to pick a side. Don't be hypocritical on this.
Yeah. As far as the defensive knock, yes, I do believe in order of defensive players in the race, it goes Wimby, Shea, Joker, Luka. as far as who plays better defense.
Yeah.
I think Luka's not great. I also think you're more of a liability if you're a bad defender when you're defending the perimeter.
A guard, yeah.
I think as a big man, you can only do so much down there. Obviously, you don't want him being super aggressive, getting fouls. So I can make the case all day why I think Joker, if that's what his focus was, like that's how we're going to win, is if I'm the best defensive player out there, I think his mind would shift. I think we would see that.
I don't know if he has the physical ability. He got a little bit of a slow first step.
Yep.
But his basketball IQ makes up for that.
He gets a lot of steals, too.
Because he knows where to be. That changes a lot. But in terms of trying to block shots, he's never going to do that. Like, I was watching an old interview with him and Jamal Murray, and it's like they asked Jamal Murray, what's the best thing Nikola Jokic does? And Jamal goes, man. And Jokic goes, jump. And Jamal's like, nah, man. Like, it's incredible what he's doing.
The other thing too, and I love Jamal Murray. I've been extremely critical of Jamal because I touted him when he was drafted. I was like, this is going to be one of the best guards in the league. And when he wasn't living up to that every night, I put pressure on that dude. But I think he's sensational. And if he has two more years like this, we can have this deeper conversation. But now suddenly, For however many years, it was always, well, Joker's doing all this without having another all-star. Well, because finally Jamal makes an all-star, and now it's, well, Joker has the better team around him. He's got an all-NBA guy. Joker's been doing this for a lot longer than all of that.
Yeah, but that is a reason why his numbers are up. They finally has a better supporting, the assist numbers.
They're making shots.
Yeah, the guys assist are numbers are going up on that. And Jamal, I think, is viewed differently outside of the state of Colorado because he's got those moments. You think, Jamal
fits,
hit a shot.
And he fits the
NBA mold.
Yes.
When you think of the NBA, you don't think of a white Serbian who doesn't jump high.
Yeah.
You just don't. And Jamal fits that mold. You used to call him Superman, but in a weird way, right? He was Clark Kent, and then all of a sudden he'd go in and get that. A buddy of mine called him the Invisible Man. He was always just invisible out there, and then he's like, oh, I'm going to shut this off, and here I am. And both are true with him, but I think Jamal is viewed as a lot better than maybe even he is because he those big moments in the playoffs. He does seem to shine when the brights are it seems to show up when the lights are the brightest.
The lights are the brightest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great, but yes, he looks the part of your favorite NBA player.
Mm-hmm.
I always said this, like on his best nights, he looks a little bit like Kobe. He plays a little bit like Kobe. He's got that mid-range game that not a lot of players have. Shea does too, but I think Jamal has a little bit of that in him. It's just the problem in his career wasn't every night. You look at Joker, and I think we all, including me, take that for granted because it does look easy for him to put up triple-doubles. But what he does is sensational. And this is why what spurred this on was me watching ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
And there's four clear candidates here. Seriously, I know it sounded disrespectful, but they're all four sensational players. It rubbed me the wrong way that the third guy on the list is Joker. Not one mention.
Yeah.
Monica McNutt, she hates with a passion Joker and the idea that surrounds him.
Yeah, it is insane. It's insane to me that just the clear disrespect. And so I also heard you going off about how you wouldn't want LeBron in Denver. Can I say that I may be open to that? What was it, an executive in the Western Conference that said that the only person with the basketball IQ of LeBron is Jokic? I think Jokic's is better. Even at 40, well, he'll be 42 next year.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of...
You want him over Peyton Watson?
No.
They may not get Watson anyway, but if they were to somehow make it work and sign Watson, they would not be able to have both.
If they were going to lose, we knew for certain that they were going to lose Peyton Watson, I'd make that move.
My guess is they're going to try to offload Cam Johnson. They're going to try to offload that contract somehow, whether they're paying for it. I don't know exactly how they're going to do that. But
Christian Braun's back in my good graces, by the way. Nobody works harder to please Nikola. He's like a jester.
Yeah.
And Jokic is the king. And he's like, make me laugh.
And
he just gets into whatever. He's like, okay, you need me to be a slasher tonight, Jokic? All right, look
and
at
that
me.
That guy doesn't want to go anywhere. No. He wants to stay with Nikola Jokic for as long as he possibly can.
He's a role player on any other team. But because he understands Nikola Jokic and where to get to his spots, that's why he got that contract. So I really liked the game that Christian Braun played last night. Utah Jazz. Jamal Murray's averaging over 35 against the Jazz.
He loves the Jazz.
Yeah, they just
the Jazz and the Lakers.
They don't play any defense.
No, no.
Both of them.
130 to 117. Yeah, Denver, they have to figure out the defensive switch. And I actually think they will when the playoffs start.
I hope so. I hope so. And I think I agree with you on that. But let me just jump in before Micah does.
Nobody in the NBA plays defense, Tanner.
You finally started to back off of that a little bit, Mike.
I knew Tanner would say it for me.
Thank you.
The defense is...
All right, here's another one. We'll go back to the Avalanche here.
Okay.
Sean Keeler was just on Tuesday, I believe, and one of his stories was, you know, because Jared Bednar's got 1 year left next year.
Mm-hmm.
Do you give him a contract extension if he comes into your office today?
I don't know. I don't know.
You probably don't.
Maybe a 2 year? I mean, a short one if I do. If the Avs don't win the Cup this year, let me put this, if everyone stays healthy and the Avs don't win the Cup this year, it's going to be one of the greatest teams in the NHL history to not win a Cup.
You're not going to take him into a lame duck situation either. You have to kind of, because you're not going to, I don't think they would do that, is leave him with 1 year left. I think they would either crap or get off the pot, I believe.
Yeah, I think, okay, today I'm telling him let's talk after the playoffs, which is an obvious, just like kick the can down the road situation. If they somehow lose, if they let's say they get matched up with the Dallas Stars, and they lose a seven-game series again in the second or third round of the playoffs, and it was just because Jake Oettinger turned into the greatest goalie on planet Earth, and the power play looked okay and everything looked okay, I extend him, even if they don't win the Cup this year. If they lose and the power play is still as bad as it has been, now they've started to figure it out a little bit. Against Calgary, they were like 3 of 4 with power play goals. But if they get into the playoffs and that power play is that bad still, and that's the reason they lose, then I think you move on from Jared Bednar.
He never fixed it, right? Never fixed that situation.
Yeah. I mean, and they fired the power play coach, and they brought somebody else in to look at it. But he hasn't had the stones to tell Nathan MacKinnon that you need to go to the second power play unit. And so at that point, if that is what happens, then I think you do have to move on, because you have to have somebody, which it can't be easy to tell Nathan MacKinnon, who is the greatest player on planet Earth, you're not a good power play guy.
He's just too hesitant on power plays, or what is it?
He just looks for the perfect shot instead of just firing the pigskin. I mean, he likes to just control the puck, because that's when MacKinnon's his best, all those highlight goals, he's making defenders look silly with his puck handling ability, and then just finding an incredible shot. You know, with the power play, you got to keep the puck moving. It's got to be on a string. You got to move that defense around, and he just sits there and gets a little happy with the puck instead of just moving to the net. Whether it's shooting or passing, he just doesn't do it quick enough. He tries to make some fancy play, and in the power play situation, you don't need that.
Yeah. What are you thinking back there, Mike?
He does get a little cute with the puck.
That's what I've noticed from a guy that's not a diehard hockey dude. When I watch, I'm just like, they just feel like they spend most of the time on the power play picking their spot.
Which is weird, because Marty Natchez is a slightly less caliber Nathan MacKinnon. I mean, they've got the same game. They've both got elite speed. They've got elite puck handling ability. But on the power play, Marty just keeps that puck moving. He just keeps finding different guys. Did you see the box score last night? I'm a big plus-minus guy. I just said that. Did you see the box score for the...
Mm-mm.
Nazem Kadri was -5 last night.
Man, he had such a nice night the night before.
On the power play.
Against Calgary.
Yeah. Because
yeah.
I saw somebody say, still not sure how Nazem Kadri fits into the Avalanche. It's like, well, there you go. That article came out right before Kadri had that. And then, -5. Go ahead.
Oh, I said jinx.
Yeah, this team's too deep, too good not to win a cup this year.
I think there's just more pressure. I was talking to Keeler about this too. Like in the long term, if both of these teams only end with one title during the MacKinnon and Jokic era, I think it's more disappointing for the Avalanche. I mean, Joker's an otherworldly player, but on the Avalanche, you have two guys that can make a case for top five every year.
I think they've got two of the top three players. I mean, I think it's MacKinnon, McDavid, and Makar. I think those are top three players in the league. And if you don't, if you only walk away, now there's been some stuff outside of their control, right? You go back to the Valeri Nichushkin situations. You go back to the Gabriel Landeskog injuries. I'm still not over last year's loss in the playoffs to the Dallas Stars.
Yeah.
That still just haunts me. Just haunts me that it was freaking, the moose went loose on us in that third period. So there's some stuff that they can't control that has affected this. But this year, boy, Chris McFarland just keeps doing this. What more do you need? And Chris McFarland just keeps pushing everything to the middle of the table, and it's got to result in another win. And it's got to be this year.
It would be wild if they do move on. If they don't win the cup or they don't get past the second round, which it's looking like it's going to be against the Stars in the second round. It would be crazy if the Avs moved on from Bednar a year after they just moved on from Malone. And that it shows that these two, I mean, obviously owned by the same people. It just, everything we've seen with these two teams has been so
mirrored.
Similar.
Yeah.
They get their star. They start coming up with Joker. They win. The same. I mean, obviously, Avalanche did that first, but they get their stars, their young guys. They built it organically for the most part, at least with the core.
Mm-hmm.
And they've just been so similar. Even when they were struggling at the same time.
I'll take it back. Bednar walks into my office today, asks for a contract extension. The answer is no. Go win a cup.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't, he's gone. Because he's never in consideration for the coach of the year, which I think, you know, as fans, we all go, wait a second. Well, yeah, that's just because, you know, MacKinnon and Makar are really good, and that's why you guys just don't think he does anything, because MacKinnon and Makar are really good. If you take your Avs cap off and look at it and say, okay, are true hockey people seeing something that we're not? Are true hockey, you know, journalists, insiders saying, okay, Bednar should have pulled this lever and he didn't? Like, that will start to creep into my brain if they don't win it this year. I mean, because they are the odds on favorite to win the cup this year.
Yeah.
They got to get it done.
Well, I'm excited for the playoffs, man.
I know.
I'm looking forward to it. Getting ready to be stressed out of my mind.
These 2 weeks, it feels like we're in purgatory right now, which is a good spot to
be. Which is nice because once we're in it, though, every other night is stress factory.
I move to start Good Morning NoCo at 7 a.m. during playoffs. Can we just kill an hour of the morning show?
No. You're going to start at 5.
Can we kill an hour?
Can
we just start at 7?
No.
So that we can stay up and still
now
be
coherent? That's going to be
3. Coherent?
3.
Mikey, you can't even get here by 9.
That's true. He got you there.
It's too hard.
Busted.
Morning, 27
minutes after the hour. We'll keep rolling with more sports talks. Maybe we'll talk about Jack Reacher and Jack Ryan or something, too. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
Fame Preps Talk. Listen to Coach Speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition. Every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, a former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Two minutes after the hour. Terrible song, by the way, and Michael just let it go.
How dare you? This is a great song. It's one of my favorites.
You were playing the guitar over there.
I like the bass. The bass was cool.
No, it wasn't.
The bass was cool. It sounded like a Chili Pepper song for a second, and then it got worse as the guy started singing.
Micah down at like the blues jam with all the other stinky people and just groove into that. It's Brian at 1310 KFK.com. Your blues jam attender.
I've never been to the Blues Jam.
I haven't either. Craft beer drinkers aren't necessarily the best smelling individuals.
Is that what it is? It was mainly just the craft beer thing?
I think so. Michael, why do you and your kind smell so bad?
I'm not saying anything bad here. Tanner's the one who's insulting people.
Although basically everybody that goes to the
yes,
blues
anyone
jam.
Who likes the blues apparently smells.
True or false? Hippies don't shower as much as they should.
Not everybody who
true
likes the blues
or false?
Is hippie. Do you know where rock and roll comes from?
True
Tanner?
Or false?
True or false, Mike?
Sorry, what was your question?
Hippies don't shower as much as they should.
I would say yes.
You would say true. Thank you.
Yeah, but ladies and gentlemen, the jury aren't necessarily hippies. There are hippies there.
True or false, there's at least 20% of the crowd that has dreads.
That's false.
Mm. At the blues jam? Yeah, I wouldn't. That's really? More of like a reggae thing.
Okay.
At all a reggae right. thing, you would say probably 40%, if not 50%.
Yeah.
I've never been to a reggae concert. I imagine there's a lot of reefer.
I think I'm getting old. I don't, like, going to a concert makes me want to die.
I haven't been to one in a while. I'm just not a big, like, you know, even going to games.
Yeah.
I mean, with the access we have now, it's just.
Yeah.
I like to go to get content after and post-game stuff, but.
Unless it's, like, a specialty thing. Like, I'll go to one Colorado Rockies game this year. Probably just one. I bought tickets at the Friends of Baseball event, and I'll be right behind home plate, so you guys can all watch me back there.
Yeah.
You can count the beers that I drink.
Yeah.
But once you sit in those, like the UNC basketball game we went to a couple years back, where we're right there being treated like kings.
Yeah.
It's hard to sit among you common folk.
Once you
experience that, and unfortunately my pocketbook doesn't allow me to sit like that for everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
you have the bet, like when Jerry was always hooking us up
mm-hmm.
for those games. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to
but even there. Like I don't think I could sit there anymore after sitting behind home plate.
Yeah.
There's so much leg room and room for activities. They bring you beer nonstop. The food is delicious and free.
Oh
well,
yeah.
Free.
Can I ask how much?
No, you can't ask. It was
a lot.
Let's just say my wife started to get a little nervous. and I didn't even realize it, but it was one of, you know, it was the sponsor of the KFK Bracket Challenge, High Desert Irrigation, that I was bidding against.
Mm-hmm.
He texts me afterwards and he's like, I didn't mean to raise that bid up on you. And I'm like, I didn't know it was you. I probably would have bailed out and let the sponsor get it. But I didn't. And he said, you just had that look in your eye like you weren't going to stop. And I'm like, I wasn't.
GoPokes says, anti-microbrew in this state? Stinky hippies? Not sure it's the showering. It's the smoke, buddy.
Could be that, too.
I think it's both.
I think it's both.
It's probably both.
Listen. Yeah. Listen. Craft beer does stuff to your intestines that it shouldn't do to your intestines.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Faith says, I have a hard time spending so much money just for something I don't get to keep. Like going to games and stuff.
See, and I'd rather spend money on the memories than on an actual item.
But you're drinking so much at these things, you can barely remember where you are.
I film it all.
Right, Mike?
Not everybody's drinking that much.
He was talking about me, Mike. Just like, talking about me.
Over there.
No, well,
it was the joke.
To be fair, yeah, it was the joke, Mike. It was the joke.
That Rockies pass, though, dude. You pull in, you park literally right next to the stadium. It's a gated little thing you park in.
Yeah, you can't. It's hard to go back.
And, like it's hard to walk among the common folk.
Yeah,
it really like. And I like I said, I don't have enough money to have that mindset. Greeley Stampede coming up. Our family, the three of us, my dad, my brother, and I, we split for two tables up top, bar right there. Never have to wait in line. Like I couldn't imagine being in the standing room. I'm too. I'm old. I don't want it.
You've
like
become accustomed to those.
Yes, those, it's a way of life.
Yeah.
Would you guys like to be on my yacht later?
You know,
that would
I
be, yeah.
You guys are.
Mike will wear that nice little two piece.
You sound like me. You're very like. Oh, I don't want to go outside. Congratulations. Welcome to the club.
Well, no, he still goes. He just said he goes. He just likes to. Have the best spots.
Yes.
Soon you're going to be one of those people that doesn't like going outside.
Oh, I'm definitely. Well, I like going outside, but I don't like. I'm outside
not for
all the
long.
Time.
But his definition of outside, amongst people.
Oh, yeah, I'm kind of getting that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting that way.
Yes, you guys will be exactly like me.
My thing is like, and I didn't realize this about being a dad, you can't like have a bad day. Like when you get home, you gotta be on still.
Right.
And there's just a point where you're like, you know what? I just want to be a lazy piece of crap for a second.
Oh, yeah. Don't want to go out?
No.
Yep. No.
I just want to sit here.
Well, like, and going to games, watching games with people.
Yeah.
If you're sitting next to random people. I mean, I'm not saying I'm a, like, guru or superior sports knowledge. But when you sit with random people and they just make the goofy comments, you know, and you're just like, I just don't want to listen to this.
No. There was a – we went to – it was the Denver Broncos and the 49ers the night that Darren Williams got shot and killed. And we were at that game, and there was – like, I was probably 12, and there was a guy behind me and my family that just kept – it was – dude, it was an extra point. He's yelling, break his effing leg! And I'm like –
that's the stuff. I remember going to a game where the Broncos played – I don't remember who they played. It might have been Green Bay. It was – went into overtime, and Green Bay scored on, like, a 90-yard touchdown pass. And – it was Dre Bly who gave up. And I just remember this guy at the end. He's holding all his beers, and he's looking around. He's like, anybody wearing a Dre Bly jersey, take it off. Like, that kind of stuff. It's just like, it bothers
me. The fact that, you know, I mean, the fan stands for fanatical. As Micah is a fanatical freak about the Denver Broncos. And I don't do well with that. Like, it'll mess with my mood when the Broncos lose. But it's also like, okay, well, I've lost plenty of bets. Plenty of bets.
Plenty of bets.
Yeah. I've never once messaged one of the players.
No, that's insane.
If you are taking it that hard, don't bet. You don't have the money to gamble.
You should go away from stuff like that. Yes, Michael.
I'll admit to I've been one of those guys who's been like that negative. I've never messaged a player.
Because you don't know how to work your phone.
I've cursed in the stands before. I don't do that anymore because I know there are kids around.
But I just like, usually
I'll
drop
interact
my head
with
and
the
I'm sad.
Other fans around me.
Yeah.
Well, because I don't necessarily think it, like, I don't think it's necessarily that guy's job to keep it PG.
Right.
Because I was the kid there, right? Like, my parents made the conscious decision and said, hey, you know, we're taking our kid
to this
environment.
Bringing them out in the elements.
And I think there's a little bit of responsibility on both. Like, if there's a 4-year-old sitting next to you, like, I want you to enjoy the game, but also, like, hey, maybe try and tone it down a little bit. Mm-hmm. You don't need to get that idiot at the Rockies game.
That was terrible.
Was it a Dodgers fan?
No,
he was like
Cleveland Indians. Right? He kept calling them the Indians, even though they're the Guardians.
And he is like, he had three kids with him, and his wife was there, and he didn't do a thing.
I couldn't
with the children.
Imagine.
It's just like really bothered.
My wife would have beat me. Yeah. Like, I mean, she would have beat me if I was that guy.
Yeah. I would have paid to see that.
Yeah,
Jenna's very strong and mean right now.
She's got that crazy pregnancy strength.
She's like 5 weeks away from giving birth. I got to mind my P's and
Q's. Oh, yeah. You got to be careful. 41 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break. We're behind in the clock, believe it or not. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Foundation Sports Nutrition, fairly new, locally owned nutrition supplement business storefront in Greeley. They're going to be offering nutrition consultations, plans, seminars, but they have the stuff that like your Max Muscles have. But when you go into a Max Muscle, it's usually a giant Arnold Schwarzenegger type guy, and he's like, this is what I take to get jacked. And you're like, dude, I'm Micah. I'm not going to look like that. I just want to get a little bit healthier. And they also have the five-star athletes that are going in there, too. That's what I love about Foundation Sports Nutrition. If you're a diehard athlete or if you're somebody who's just wanting to try to watch the weight a little bit. Get a little healthier here in 2026. Foundation Sports Nutrition is the one. Check them out. They're on 10th Street and 59th Ave across from Wells Fargo and Sonic.
What is he now in charge of your music? Because the music's been bad. Don't do that to either Eurythmics.
What was that one?
That was Sweet Dreams? Yeah, that was. Who did that, though?
That was Iron Savior. They are a power metal band from Germany.
Didn't like it. Why is that in there? That shouldn't be in there. That shouldn't be in the music
remove
list.
Remove it. You've been voted off the
That
island.
Was not put in the music list.
Yeah. Micah?
I put it in the music list, but I will take it out.
Oh, no. Now I don't want you to.
Oh, yes.
No,
yes, you do.
No, keep it in there.
No, don't appease him.
If he kept fighting, I would have kept pushing for it, but he handled that so well.
Correct.
That I'm like, dude, no, keep it in there. You earned it. Leave it in there, okay? Play it again. Play it right now.
No.
I can play a different one.
No, play. No, that doesn't give you. Don't go off now. That's the thing.
You gave him editorial freedom.
I know.
Can't do that.
It is technically my playlist. I did start.
What's the name of the show?
Yeah, Mike, what's the name of the show?
The Hall Show.
Okay. I don't. I don't know. I'm off tomorrow.
How did he get into radio?
I'm off tomorrow.
How has he made it this long in radio?
How has he made it in anything?
Yeah. How are you still alive?
How are you still alive? I don't... He's playing us off, John.
I'm Tanner.
Oh, hey, Tanner. All right.
Really bad.
This is just not good.
No.
This is like...
Oh, how dare you? No, you... Brady, you like this?
Yeah, it's kind of all right.
No!
It's kind of all right.
Keep the original.
Oh, without the original, you wouldn't have this form.
I was waiting. Are they going to start screaming?
No.
This is your funeral goth vampire music right here, man.
Power metal is not goth. It's more nerdy.
You smell bad.
The Avalanche in the playoffs is no small thing. Just how far will they go? Hear Avs games and coverage on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, what?
That's very good.
The one time he doesn't point. We're in the middle of a conversation.
Yeah, what do we learn today? I just learned this. Kevin Lotto was on with us earlier talking about guys coming back. Kyle Jorgensen is for sure back for CSU.
No.
Baby Joker is back. Baby MVP.
Let Ollie go.
We might call him that. Hopefully they can retain everybody.
I learned that the internet doesn't think you're very smart.
No, they do not.
And that was the nicest way of putting it.
And I respect all the players. I think they're all phenomenal. But I'm just tired of it.
I disagree. I don't think Shea's a phenomenal player.
Really?
Really.
You don't think he's a phenomenal player?
No, he's a free throw merchant. 1,000%.
Really? I think he's actually really good. Michael, what did you learn today?
I learned that Mr. Schwint is not all in on Jared Bednar. Tanner's kind of wait and see here, which I totally understand. I also learned that I'm not the most negative person on the planet. Apparently, it's Tanner.
Just because he doesn't like the Blues?
I didn't say I didn't like the Blues. I just said the people who attend Blues festivals generally have a body odor.
I just said a lot of negative things, and that was just the last one.
All right. Well, that'll do it for us. I'll be back on Monday.
It's not a half day or anything.
It's a half day. It's a whole day for me.
Don't laugh at
Thanks,
that.
Mike. Good job, Mike. Boom. That'll do it. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.